President Clinton, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, as powerful as our memories are, our dreams must even be stronger. For when our memories outweigh our dreams, we become old. 15 years ago, on December 31, 1999, just before midnight, President Clinton spoke these words at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., during the Millennium Gala marking the transition to a new century. Yes, dreams are part of being young. Dreaming about what it's like to be rich, dreaming about love, about the boy or girl you'll later marry and live happily ever after with. But young people often have bigger dreams as well. Dreams about the kind of world they want to live in. Dreams about a world where the color of your skin doesn't matter, where it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim, or what your sexual orientation is. Dreams about a world where hatred has made way for compassion and the profound awareness that we are all part of one big community consisting of people with very different backgrounds and beliefs. Anne Frank dreamed of such a world while cooped up in the secret annex, her hiding place in Amsterdam from July 1942 to August 1944. She was only 15 years old when the Nazi ideology of anti-Semitism put an end to her young life in the concentration camp of Bergen-Belsen, shortly before that camp was liberated. Only 15. She confided her dreams, both small and big, to her diary. "I hope that you will be a great support and comfort to me," she wrote as the first sentence of her diary, only weeks before going into hiding and still unaware of how important this support would prove to be in the 2 years that followed. We can only speculate about her thoughts during the last months of her young life, cut short in Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. Was she able to hold on to her dreams in a situation of increasing hopelessness? Did she still believe that, quote, "people are really good at heart," unquote, as she had written in a diary a short time before the arrest? Did she gaze at the sky, as she had done earlier through the attic window of the hiding place? Think of that chestnut tree that grew outside the annex, and hoping that everything would ultimately change for the better? 68 years ago, on May 3, 1957, memories and dreams came together when Otto Frank, Anne's father, stood in front of the house on 263 Prinsengracht, where he, with his family and four others, had been in hiding for more than 25 months. Of the eight people in hiding, he was the only one who had survived the war. The establishment that day of the Anne Frank House organization, entrusted with the opening to the public of the secret annex and to propagating the ideals from his daughter's diary, marked the synthesis of sorrow-filled memories of his murdered wife and two daughters, and his dream of a better future. In his vision, the world should learn from the past in which he had lost his entire family. "We should not just teach history lessons," he said in an interview in 1957. "We should also teach the lessons of history." Millions of people throughout the world, mainly young people, have read Anne Frank's diary and have visited the Anne Frank House. Through her words, young people hear the voice of someone their own age appear. Her dreams are their dreams. Her life story serves as a source of inspiration and teaches them about morality, a basic sense of right and wrong, the things that make us human. The sober emptiness of the secret annex reminds them of the fact that Anne Frank did not survive the Holocaust. It makes her absence and that of so many others painfully apparent, with her diary as the silent witness of her dreams and her destiny. But the secret annex is not just a window into the Holocaust. It is also a mirror through which we look at ourselves, not to reflect on one's beauty, but to reflect on one's values, to determine who we are and who we want to be. In the spirit of Otto Frank, we are more than a place of memory. We are a place of learning, too. Every year, we carry out more than 500 educational programs all over the world. Here, in the United States of America, this is done in an excellent manner by our trusted partner, the Anne Frank Center USA. Their Anne Frank Sapling Project is a beautiful example of their educational work. Through this project, trees are being planted at organizations throughout the U.S. with a demonstrated commitment to upholding Anne's vision for a peaceful and more tolerant world. We are very, very proud that they represent us here. 68 years ago, on September 4, 1957, here in Little Rock, Arkansas, far away from Amsterdam, memories of a painful past and dreams of a better future came together in Melba Patillo Beals and another 8 students who've become known as the Little Rock Nine. Even now, after 68 years, we can only be deeply impressed by their courage, their resolve, their unbroken belief in human dignity. Similar to Anne Frank's dreams, theirs was also rooted in a history of injustice and inequality. And like Anne, they did not give in to the hopelessness of the moment, but held on to their unalienable rights and ideals, firmly believing in what Dr. Martin Luther King, in his dream, called the Bank of Justice. 9 brave students opened the doors for millions of others, even though behind those doors there is still much work to be done. Looking back to this significant period in her life, Dr. Beals said in a newspaper interview in 1997, and I quote Dr. Beals, "Mostly what I think about when I think back is how sad for somebody to go through that when they are 15, unquote. Only 15. What connects the history of Anne Frank, the history of Melba Patillo Beals, and the other histories that are depicted here in this beautiful and impressive new installation is that they were the work of human beings. They form powerful collective memories of injustice, and as such, inspires us to even stronger dreams that touch on human values, on equal rights for everyone in an open and free society. In his vision for this wonderful center, President Clinton quoted the words of Franklin D. Roosevelt. "A nation must believe in 3 things," I quote. "It must believe in the past, it must believe in the future, and it must above all believe in the capacity of its own people so to learn from the past that they can gain in judgment in creating their own future." That is, from today, what connects the Clinton Presidential Center here in Little Rock, Arkansas, with the secret annex in Amsterdam and with the Anne Frank Center USA in New York. We share an important mission. These are places where memories and dreams come together, where the pain of the past and a firm belief in the future go hand in hand. Thanks to the joint efforts of the Clinton Foundation, the Sisterhood of Congregation B'nai Israel, and the Anne Frank Center USA, young people will come here to this beautiful park and will sit in the shadow of Anne's chestnut tree, reflecting on the stories depicted on these panels and why these stories are so important to their own lives. "I shall not remain insignificant," Anne wrote in her diary on April 11, 1944. It sounds like the big dream of a little girl, but it also sounds as a message to all of us to keep the painful memories of the past alive, while at the same time ensuring that our dreams will remain stronger. We owe this to two 15-year-old girls who wrote history, but we owe it perhaps even more to ourselves and to generations to come. Thank you.